This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, September 17th, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's meeting. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting of September 17th, 2008 to order. I'd also like to ask if there's any late additions to the agenda. I have a few. I'm going to throw on the Magic Paintbrush project. A new lead, an urgent position on the Energy Fair task list. Another one, the Faculty Senate. A representative has been asked to join the Faculty Senate from the Employee Assembly. And a Bailey Hall announcement information from Peter. Any other late additions, calls to the agenda? Okay, we're going to move on with the first new business of the day, and give everybody a handout, and that is cell phones for soldiers. I received this in the mail, but what it is a cell phone recycling program that will benefit our troops serving overseas as the organization receives old, unused cell phones that people may have. I don't know all the details, but I believe it will go to one of our troops so that they have a cell phone to call home through the holidays. And I just want to bring that up, that it may go hand in hand with the Energy Fair, because it is a recycling effort, but it also would align itself with a free to poor type goal for the year and benefit our troops. And I just envision it as a big box at the Energy Fair. When we market the Energy Fair, we possibly put a line about this in there so people do know to bring it. Yes, Jason.
Should I add to the poster, like, bring your old cell phone?
If it's not too late, but that is...
Yeah, it's not too late.
And I would ask, I can, or someone else can, call this organization and make sure that it is legit, it does benefit the troops, and also if we get a big box, who paid for shipping? I know there's a little pouch for one, but would they be willing to provide shipping as well? So if everything checked out, any thoughts on this? Is it okay?
No, check it out. I'll bring it up with Lieutenant Colonel Brian Page.
Okay. I'll keep this one.
Okay. But I'd like to just take the data about who's
and then let me know. And we'll want to get rather soon for our marketed push. Great. The next is the Magic Paintbrush project, and it's kind of a new topic we have not talked about. I attended this past weekend. Here it is, and what it is it's an organization that works off of donations that puts together workshops and seminars for parents and children, more specifically children with special needs. And I know that Mary has, I'll also bring this up when Mary is here. Mary has worked hard to support parents of children with special needs here at the Cornell community. And this is more directed for Mary. Because I'm going to pass it around. I just want to let you know that some of the people we represent do have children with special needs. And I don't know if we have the funding, but maybe this information going to the right place. If they're interested, they may be able to offer human resource, somebody.
Well, my office might be the right place, because the work-life team within our Office of Workforce Diversity, Equity, and Life Quality does have programming and a listserv of Cornell parents with children with special needs. They had meetings. They're a very active group.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what exactly this is, but I could...
Yeah, I'll give it to Inda, and we'll pass it around. You can end up and hold on to it, Alan.
Okay.
It's really great. They, like the Binghamton Senators, semi-professional hockey team, actually went in one day and worked with these children, and they got passionate. The children that were there, I was a guest, the children and families that were there, it was amazing what they do, the creativity, and they work on plans and drawings and paint, and the kids get messy, and it's just children that may not smile, smile for hours, and I thought it was wonderful. But we'll see where that gets. Okay, next item is we need a lead for the food part of the Energy Fair. Amy was leading it. I have attended with her. I'm going to continue to attend. There's a meeting tomorrow. Just don't know if anybody is willing to volunteer to take the lead of Cornell Dining. They're going to be our caterer, but we still have to do some planning and meeting with those folks. I will remain as the lead until somebody does step forward. I just want to publicly put that out there and see if there's anybody that thinks about it. Let us know.
It's an opportunity for collaboration with Mary and the Human Resources Group.
It's always an opportunity. Right now, we've met with them already, and they've taken it back to their people. I mean, they're already working out menus, what they're going to offer. They've been there before. They know pretty much where they're going to set up. So at this point, it's just more someone to communicate with them. So I'll get back to them. So, good question.
Sorry.
Welcome, Mary.
Hi, sorry to be late.
That's okay. Do you want a minute to...
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Well, we started our meeting, and we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
I actually just missed it. Hazel has it now. I mentioned that I know that your efforts in Off Human Resources have been very strong advocates in supporting the Cornell community parents with children with special needs. And I attended a fabulous workshop last weekend about it, and these people are willing to travel and go places. There's donations. Pretty much the kids get together and they just have paint, and they tell stories with their parents, and it was just, I just saw these children that probably normally don't smile much, just smile for hours. And there is a cost, it's all in there, but I just thought I'd just throw it out there.
Great.
If anything, as a reminder to the employee assembly, that we do have staff and faculty and students that have children that have special needs. It's tough if you're not familiar with that. It's pretty tough to raise those as a children and then to work their job.
Yeah.
People can look at that as they need to. Alan said he might bring it to work, right?
Yeah. Michelle Arterby is probably has a listserv and has had meetings with parents, children with special needs already, very active group. And I'm sure they'd be very interested in this.
Yeah, great.
Okay, and we have some topics for you. Probably Jason and I and anybody feel free. We just want to update you real quick on the status of our energy fair that is in conjunction with the President's address. We're still set for October 27th. Do you want to do this? So it's a go. We have some great leads on different parts of the task list that we helped create with the help of Judy Hart. Bill Liddick, for instance, is contacting all the Cornell community groups that may be interested, and you're getting a lot of good positive feedback.
Yeah, and actually I could have a few more today. I think I'm up to 8 documents, and then I'm expecting more that are, you know, need to get back. So it's going well. Yeah.
Okay. We have people contacting local vendors. I've been in contact with NYSEG. Contacted them early. I'm still waiting. They're bouncing it around, but they do know of the date. We've been in contact with Cornell Dining to be our caterer. Beth is the lead of transportation. So pretty much what we did is we made a huge task list, and we've assigned leads on it, and everybody's working together on it, trying to bring us closer to what we need to do. I don't know if you have anything to add, Jason, to where we are. If you have any questions, Mary, I know there's a lot of interest surfacing. We're hearing about it every day from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it seems at a great time to benefit our Cornell community. Okay. We'll keep you updated as we...
Right.
And we wanted to ask you if there was maybe an email that could go out prior to the president's address, trying to get employees to encourage to attend, possibly supervisors know that there is the president's address during the lunch hour, but the energy fair is from 10 to 2, before and after. It's important, especially with the energy crisis and the cost of fuel rising, people might be struggling to...
11 to 2.
11 to 2, okay.
The energy fair is 11 to 2?
Yeah.
Maybe we can bring that up at our next meeting together as we get a little closer. We just definitely appreciate help on that. Want to see if you can maybe talk to us a little bit about flexible work times. We've been hearing a little bit about that. The 4-day work week, 4-10-hour shifts, 1 day off, as a sustainability effort.
When is the president's address?
October 27th.
No, I mean what time?
I believe he's expected to be there at 15. I can confirm that.
Okay. When did you want the email to go out?
Maybe, I would say 1 week prior at a minimum, maybe even sooner.
Okay. Taking my assignment.
Let's give her more. We are looking for someone to be a lead on that. Working with Cornell Dining if you want that.
Sorry, I only have a limited amount of
space. Almost out of paper. Get to the next item was if you could give us any ideas or if there's anything concrete or just thoughts of flexible work times. We've been hearing a little bit about it. Is there a push by Cornell to go to 4-day work week?
No.
Okay.
Which 4 days would we work?
Me personally, Monday to Monday.
I think what you're asking is, are we trying to push for more compressed work weeks as opposed to 4 days? I mean, what we have classes
right.
all 5 days.
Right.
We work all 7 days.
Right.
The students live here. There's no day we couldn't be here unless we wanted the kids not to eat.
Right.
So,
right.
So I think what you're asking is, are we pressing for scheduling that was more compressed? And we are trying to get, where it's possible,
okay.
people to think in terms of scheduling that's more compressed. Although we do lots of that now. And so we met with the college officers and HR people to try to get them to think about where it's feasible to look at scheduling that would allow people not just to drive in all 5 days because of the gas prices. And, you know, some people are more interested in doing that than others. I think that we were a little set back, frankly, with the announcement by Governor Patterson of the state budget cuts. So what we're trying to do now is understand what the impact of those budget cuts are going to be on the university. And then figure out how we integrate that financial impact into the core messages that we have. And so we're still trying to understand the impact of that on the campus. So we're still trying to pursue flexible scheduling. We don't think they're mutually exclusive at all. But we are, I think, in a little bit of a hiatus right now while we try to take a step back and understand our current financial situation.
Okay. Well, if there are managers or departments or units that want guidance, information, toolkit on how to approach this on an individual or department basis, Michelle Arderby is the person in our office.
So there are toolkits.
Well, she has information about, you know, I don't know if she's developed yet a
Well, but I think what I'd rather do, Alan, is follow the protocol that we agreed with the university leaders, which is that that Lynette was going to work through the college officers and develop those and go back through the college officers rather than have individual managers and supervisors going directly to workforce.
Was that for all flex, or we talking about the compressed work week for all flexible arrangements? Because people do bother about.
To the extent that colleges and units are doing things, they're going to continue to do things. To the extent that colleges and units are looking holistically, I think college deans and vice presidents have asked their business and college officers to manage that. So where it's happening organically, it will continue to happen organically.
Okay, yeah.
But where colleges and units are trying to look at it in a broader sense, I think the colleges and business officers are trying to manage that a little
bit.
Okay. So, you know, there are some places that just manage really well at a more decentralized level, and they're doing that already. But some places don't manage change all that well, and we're asking the college and business officers to try to think about these things. And so we made the agreement that we would go back through the business and college officers with some ideas, and so we're going to go back and meet them. So we're making our progress. We have lots of flexible scheduling happening here.
Oh, yeah.
We did a survey. It's amazing how much is happening. So we're trying really, really hard to let that continue to occur and not, you know, put a spotlight on this in a way that might have a boomerang or uncomfortable effect where people feel like they have to stop things that are working really well because an unfortunate spotlight got spotlight on that, because there's lots and lots of surprising amounts that's working just great, and we want to let that keep going. But we're just trying to get some places that really are maybe just haven't even tried to start thinking about it.
Okay. Thank you.
The stuff that seems to be the hardest are more intense kinds of things, like 4 days, 10-hour days, where seems to be a little bit harder for people to schedule that. So what happens a lot easier is come in at 8:30 or skip your lunch hour, that kind of stuff. That stuff happens a lot easier, and people don't seem to struggle with that. But where you're saying, why don't you try 4 days, that's a little bit more difficult. So that's the stuff we're trying to get college officers and business officers to go ahead and look at that with a little bit more seriousness, because that's where energy savings can really happen.
Thank you. If you want to just update on the child care center, I know there's a open in October, as far as an announcement. How's it going?
The child care center.
Yeah,
so the child care center opened in August. We have our grand opening or ribbon cutting or
whatever it is.
We have our ribbon cutting on October 15th. And so everyone that built it and everyone who made it really hard to build it, so I'm not sure why I have to invite those people, but they're amazing. And everyone who made it possible. And are all being invited. You'll all be invited to ribbon cutting on October 15th. So I hope you all come. With no budget, so don't expect
anything. You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Like, I think we spent all the budget on the tent, so because I'm afraid of something. I think there's a kid. Really, literally, things that have changed in happen, which I'm hoping to get down with. It's going great. We still have a waiting list. Tuition is still too high. That's been the feedback, and I understand that. It's because of where we built it. You know, it's we're subsidizing it, but because of where we built it, we still have to amortize the debt. And so it was way more expensive because we built it on the campus. The second center, and I do believe we are going to build a second center. We're going to build just off the campus. It'll be less than half the price. So even, you know, we'll subsidize it again, but we'll have half the debt, and the tuition will be less. And people are asking me about that. How can you have two centers don't you think that it'll pull from the First Center? I don't. I think people have different ability to pay. I think the First Center will, you know, have enough people that will be able to pay it, and they'll pay it. And I think the Second Center will have people who will pay, and I believe that it will. And you know what? If the First Center has openings in it because it's too expensive, then we'll have a problem and we'll deal with it. But that's the way it goes. So we're looking. We're starting planning for the Second Center. Believe it or not,
wow. Before I never ever go.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I swore I would never build the Second Center. And I swore that I would never do this, and I don't want to. But we're looking at it. We're actually playing with the idea of an intergenerational center. So we have elder care day care in it, as well as child care. But we don't have that decided yet. So it'll be a while.
Get the difficult people a bigger piece of cake. Maybe they'll be easier.
Yeah, well, they won't be able to get at us because it won't be on campus. So so we're starting. It'll be a while, not 10 years, but it'll be a little while. And I'm working, closely with Steve Gold, and that will be a big help because he's people are way better at this than I am, and honestly, tougher. It doesn't bother him as much as it could. People can't make him cry, so. And so we're really hopeful that we'll get a second center up in a more reasonable time.
So when you say you don't want to build another center, you mean you personally being the head of the project?
That is absolutely okay. Correct. I personally will not be the head of the
But you like the idea of having one, just as long as you don't have to build it.
Theoretical remove.
Okay.
I like the idea of someone named Steve.
Yes,
I got it. I like the idea of imagining all the things that Steve will be. And so, yeah, we've got a lot of ideas and about it. And I actually am quite hopeful that we're going to move forward. And the current financial situation in New York State is, we're hoping that we're going to understand what that means for us fast, and then we can get moving on our plan. But that's taking up more time than that.
Just curiosity question, what is the impact of, you said it costs more because it was built on campus? What?
Yeah, so I was pretty stubborn about wanting one center on campus. I felt pretty strongly that we needed at least one center on the campus. And I believe I made the right decision, so I'm not sure that I did. And once you do that, you obligate yourself to these institutional principles about what the building must look like, the standards and principles you have to build to, and then because of the kind of building it was, like when you build a child care center, you have to have like a certain amount of green space and you have to be a certain distance away from any research hoods. The places that we could put it were very limited, meaning it had to be on the periphery, which meant it turned out to be something called a gateway building, which then meant we then had to conform to another set of standards called gateway standards.
Because it's the first building people see.
Which you learn later. And then, because of the particular gateway, we had to then conform to the village, the county, the city, and Missouri, I think. I'm not sure. So we had to get like 3 or 4 municipalities to agree. And so by the time you ended up getting all of these different, it just ballooned the cost because you had to build to these principles and standards, and it had to be like a 50-year building instead of a 20-year building, and it was incredible.
I think that whole, what you just said, the whole message helps explain the cost, because I know there's a lot of people that have been tried to get in, or they got in, but then they had to decline because of the cost, to understand why the cost became that way. And
right.
It's not just, oh, well, Cornell's going to charge a premium dollar. It had to be charged for the recouping of the cost of the building, given those circumstances.
Right.
And that.
And it's still heavily, heavily subsidized. I mean, it's still a heavily subsidized center. And it's still, even with all of that, it's a market rate built. I mean, it's still a market rate tuition. If you go around and check those, that's what I see, three charges. So on top of everything else, we also had the reality that we didn't want to throw all of the local centers out of business, because we were nervous that if we did that, we threw all the local centers out of business, then everyone that couldn't get in wouldn't have any other place to go. So we were really getting a lot of pressure from the local community. So we ended up not having that happen, just because we subsidized it as much as we could, and we have the scholarship program, but we still didn't end up having that problem. When we open the second center, we're going to come back to the community issue, because then it will be the case that I think that we will get more community issues, where people will pull out of other centers at enough of a rate that I suspect other centers will, I don't think we'll have difficulty staying open.
They'll have to cut their operating costs, which will make them not as good a center.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to cut their operating costs. I have to tell you, there's no fat in a child care center. They run at the bare bones. Centers only can cut their tuition by being subsidized. There's nothing in a center that you don't need. I mean, they don't pay particularly well. There's nothing there. I mean, it's really hard for a center to make ends meet. Even subsidized, there's very little extra. So I have a great deal of sympathy for a local center. So anyhow, that's more than you needed to know or what to ask for. But that's where we are, and I'm real proud of the center, and it's a great place. And for those who have been able, some people have been able to, between the scholarship program, and they've been able to make it work. And, you know, I did it. You know, I had my kids in the Harvard Center, got a home equity loan to get them in. And you know, I got them in infant care, had to stick to the home equity loan out, but it got easier once they got through. The infant care was the toughest thing. Back in, you know, 1990, I spent $1,800 a month to have my kids in care. But by the time I got to preschool, it was a lot cheaper, and I was glad I did it, because they stayed in a continuum of care.
Thank you. I think that was great information.
So, anyhow, that's where we are, and I hope you'll come and put the... Not sure we have money for a ribbon.
Or go pick a scissor.
Oh, we definitely don't have money for a ribbon.
Don't have the ceremonial scissors?
We might all just have to nibble it.
Not through it.
It's a gorgeous facility, and it'll be there for a really long time.
Because it's a 50-year building.
It is a 50-year building.
So we had our summer retreat, and we did come up with some goals. So we reviewed our goals that we had established last year as a group, and we realized we did a really good job at meeting them. And then we retired some that we just would never get to. So we're realistic, and we kept the president's address, obviously, as an annual goal. Jim Sheridan was our facilitator. We came up with a new goal. Probably will happen more after the energy fair. A lot of our energy is going into the energy fair. A lot of our time is resource. It's free to core. Kind of an idea of raising morale for Cornell workers. Whether that be recognizing veterans at the holiday season, for staff and faculty, or some other kind of initiative, and that's where we are. So we have something new to look at this year, and then
think we're going to continue on some of the goals, like increased communication and our reach. We got our charter review committee that's going through the charter and making changes. They're going to recommend them to us as a group. And try to see if we agree and push it forward. Everybody here is doing a great job. The Office of Talent is doing an excellent job at supporting us with an employee handbook. If we're making different projects, already been very active in helping our staff committees with a formal process. And you've been helping out tremendously with the energy here.
So I think there's a couple things I need to say. One is on the good news side. So next week the university will release, so I'm telling you, but it's still confidential, that we made two of the best of lists again. One is Working Mother Magazine. We're in the top quartile for best employer for working mothers. I do have to say, the risk of sounding like just totally cynical, along with Lehman Brothers, just isn't that weird? but we did. And AARP, and this year we're actually the number one employer for people in the community. So I was just up there being interviewed by No, but I have my food with me. So in my, I'm a healthy living program, so I'm not doing pizza or things anymore. So those are good, really good. The other thing that we're doing is we're launching the president has asked the senior leadership to work together in joint efforts on five university priorities, and one of them is event management. And so Susan Murphy and I are leading a year-long review of how we manage events on campus. And so you'll hear more about this as we go along, but we're spending the year continuing with that event. And so I wanted you to know that. You'll hear more about that as time goes on, but I'm telling you privately about that. You'll hear more. I will say, really, let this will come out. But Peggy Beach is sharing it, so. But when she tells your son's story. but you know, if you want a really important thing done, you always turn to the people that do a great job. So. The less good news, though, is, and I've referred to it now twice, I feel like you need to understand this because you talked about morale. We're worried about the financial picture, and I want to make sure you understand that it's not going to be an all out great year. The Governor Patterson's announcement comes at a time. We're trying to understand it, but it's a big cut that we think we could be getting, and it comes at a time when some of the other economic realities are not terrific either. The investments are not great, you know. These things that you're seeing in the national, they affect us. You know, the Wall Street, our $5 billion throws off our payout. Our payout is part of how our operating budget gets covered. You know, we rely on gifts. Gifts are great. We had a great year. We closed our year best gift ever, but they're slower than we wish they were. You know, Cornell's not going to go belly up. We have a $5 billion endowment. But our indicators are slower than we wish they were. So I'm not telling you this because I think we're, you know, heading into the toilet. I mean, we're not. We're economically healthy. But it's going to be a tighter year than we've had in recent years. And you need to know that as you think about the year coming up. And understand that it's no fooling. It's not a disaster. We're a healthy organization. We will likely have another, you know, record-breaking applicant year if all else, you know, continues. But it is a moment in time when we're going to have to look for efficiencies, and we're going to have to respond to New York State when they finally decide what they mean. When the Patterson cuts are finalized, they will come down to us. We have to figure out what that means. So, you know, more to come. It's, like I said, I don't want to overstate it, but it's not nothing. You know, we know only a little bit right now. We know one part of a two-part cut. There's an aid to localities aspect of the cut. That's a $1.6 million cut. That's the part we know. And that is hitting primarily in debt and CALS. So we know that piece. The across-the-board cut, we don't know yet. It's still being noodled around with, and SUNY has not given us our share of that yet. As soon as we know it, the university will decide what to do with it. The president wrote to all of you. I hope you read it. I decided people don't read even what he wrote. So somehow they find that comforting because nobody reads what I wrote, but I don't think they read what he writes. In his beginning of the year comments, he said that he had put an ad hoc committee together, and I was on it. So if you read it, you know that I was on it. We submitted our report to him to try to size what we think our challenges are. He's got it now. We turned it in on Friday. He gave us a whopping 2 weeks to do it. And he's looking at it. And he hasn't opined on that yet until we know from the state we really can't. But we did give him some recommendations to consider. And we'll be in touch. Our commitment to the campus is that we'll be as transparent as we can be. We're going to be honest. We're going to be open. But we can't tell you what we don't know. So as soon as we know more, we'll tell you. And that's my commitment to you. So I'm not withholding information from you. I don't have any more than what I'm telling you.
Mary, how do you think our medical college will be, will they be affected or?
Not yet. And I assume what you're talking about right now is the Medicare cuts. Not yet. The hospital probably will be, but it doesn't look like the PO is going to get that affected. But the hospital in the first round probably will be. But not that much. The payer mix at New York Presbyterian is pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. So the hospitals that will get nailed are those that are really Medicare and Medicaid dependent.
Okay.
So we're a pretty wealthy payer mix, and we have a lot of private payers.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't take it there yet. Now, if the trajectory continues in the country, you know, the way it is, private payers will get hit. So for those of you who aren't following the rest of the message in Patterson's message, there was an aspect to it about cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, and that's going to hit hospitals. And physicians organizations in terms of the reimbursement rate. Our physicians organization is not that affected by that. The hospital will be, but we have a payer mix that has a heavy private pay side, more than a poorer hospital does that's reliant on Medicare and Medicaid.
Thank you. The last thing I have for you, and I'm sure you have a question, is the Staff Recognition Awards Committee is meeting tomorrow to review applications for the George Beter Award, being the first one since the bad news. We'll work with you closely. We hope that you can make it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll work with your schedule.
And we might want to think about asking Paula to come, his daughter.
We'll be in touch with you about that.
I would really, really ask that my calendar be worked with,
yes.
So that I can be there.
You get my word on it.
Can you speak to the tribute to George that the trustees did? Because I wasn't in the room for that, were you?
I was. We wrote it.
I read it, but it was very nice.
Yeah,
actually Dennis was a big part of getting it written. So when a trustee or a trustee, particularly when a trustee passes away, there is a resolution in, put into the trustee minutes. So we can get that to all of you so you have it, and it'll be sent to his family. And it's a beautiful, and it's forever in the minutes in memoriam. And it's a memorandum to the file forever. And it goes through his life and keeps forever in the history of Cornell, who George was and what he meant to the university. So we're actually, why don't we, if you remind me, I'll get you a copy and we'll send it around. It's a beautiful way to remember George. So it was done, and then a moment of silence is called for, and then it's placed into the minutes. Thank you, Seth, for reminding me of that. But, and then it's sent to his family. It is.
You don't have any more paper.
It is sent to
his family. Jamie, could you send that to all of your family?
Sure.
Does anybody have anything? Do you have any questions for us?
Please, if you have questions about the financial situation as we go on, ask me. Don't worry or wonder or let rumor go on. Okay, ask me.
I heard a rumor, well, the coffee.
Thank you, yeah. Because that's the only way. You're part of the leadership of the employees, and I'm, you know.
Do you foresee a hiring freeze?
Well, that's a possibility, is that we might hold off hiring. So it's not decided. Nothing is decided, but it's a tool. Now, let's talk about what hiring freezes do and what they don't do. Hiring freezes are in your savings. They are not intended to do any permanent savings for a budget. So the only reason you do them is to collect money in year. And the only reason we would do them is for temporary relief. And the only reason we would consider them now is because Governor Patterson cut the in-year budget. What he said, and again, until the government tells us what they meant. I mean, we're all going off of, the guy stood up and said something on the news, and there's not been a whole heck of a lot more coming out. So he stood up and he gave a talk that said, I'm passing along a humongous cut, like $600 and some odd million this year, and another one next year. So if he's true to what he said publicly, the year already started. So the reason for a freeze is because the year is ticking along. So you got to find ways to collect the money in the year we're in.
Do you foresee layoffs? That was another conversation about, you know, all the money that Cornell's losing. Do you foresee layoffs?
I think it's a possibility. Yeah, I do.
Early retirement, maybe?
No, I don't. I don't believe that there is any movement on the state's part to do an early retirement incentive. Remember that on the state side has to do early retirement incentives through legislative action. So when they're doing them, I know about them really early because they have to put the legislative action in front of the legislature way before it gets passed, and there's been no movement afoot. So I'm fairly confident that they're not going to do another early retirement incentive. I just don't see it coming. And I can't do those on the state side. I can't touch that retirement. It's a state retirement program. So layoffs are the only way to eliminate positions. Now, the university could do incentives for people to quit, you know, or be, you know, and enhance the ability for people to voluntarily take a layoff. But all those cost money, you know, so you have to balance voluntary things because they take one-time funds, you know, even layoffs take severance money.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff requires knowing the nut you're trying to crack, and we don't have all that information yet. So the truth of the matter is nothing has been decided because we don't know how big a problem we have. You know, it would be a lovely outcome to just be able to collect it through a hiring freeze. I gotta tell you. I mean, I know people wouldn't like that, but that would be, I would do the dance of joy because nobody gets hurt.
I personally have staff that have been here 2 years, some less, mm-hmm. you know, so they start talking about layoffs and, you know, we're union, so you're going to have the seniority thing and, you know, they're just scared.
Sure. Well, layoffs are, you know, nobody wants layoffs. But layoffs are no answer at all because you got to figure out who to lay off and mm-hmm. in what areas and where you're trying to go. All that is just a big, scary blob of a word that doesn't give you any action whatsoever. So we're not even close to knowing what we would do once we know the number, you know, would it only, where would we do them and where would we get the money and where would we try to, you know, oh. So we're far from that. I mean, the first thing we have to do is get the state to tell us what they need.
Right.
And, you know, the state, of course, I think they can't figure out just how bad a problem it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they, I think, they were going along with one problem. And then AIG, right,
mm-hmm.
at one point, I think they thought they were going to get stuck with the AIG problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think yesterday, although as a taxpayer, I don't know how I feel about the fact that the federal government, who hasn't been particularly impressive, just took over that big honker of a bill on AIG. But I think yesterday was actually good news for New York State, that they were able to shift that big problem over to the federal government. But I think for a while, they thought they were going to have AIG
mm-hmm.
problems. So I think to give them their due, they don't know what they're dealing with either. You know, every time Wall Street stumbles,
yeah.
20% of New York State revenues are directly connected to Wall Street. 20%. So every time a Wall Street company goes belly up, their problem gets bigger. So we're just pretty far down that food chain, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're just a little snippet of SUNY. So we're pulled way down here trying to figure out what our problem is. So we're just in a wait and see mode. I think the key here, the key to all of this right now, is that it's not great, but we're not falling apart. We're not going to go under. There, you know, it's just don't let people panic. The problem is, it's a real problem,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going under. We're not going belly up. Cornell will be here when we will get through this. We, you know, we're not going to stop building the life science building and the physical science building, and people are going to say, how can you be talking like this and still be? Because the faculty that populate those buildings are going to bring millions of dollars of research in, and that research money that they bring is going to employ people in new jobs, and that's what's going to be the future of Cornell. We're going to keep doing that. And so, you know, the key is to just, we will keep going forward. And I think the key for all of you is to be as educated as you can be on the future directions of the institution. We're all right. We're not failing. We're not on our knees. We're not even on our ankles. We're all right. We're just trying to figure out, we got a little, not even boulder, bigger than a pebble. Got to get it out of the way.
Great. And with the budget cuts and proposed future cuts, would that spark any kind of more of an initiative for succession planning for leaders here at Cornell, you know, internal candidates? Maybe we're already doing it. I'm just not aware of it.
Thinks I'm not going to make it out the other side of it. So we're actually at a very good point. You know, we're trying to understand what this is doing in terms of, we believe that all of our priorities remain our priorities. Here's what's happening. When the economy, now this is not Cornell, but when the economy slows down the way that it is, people open their retirement statement and go, oh, remember how I said I was retiring in December? That's not going to happen. And so our turnover rate is slowing down, right? People don't retire, and they don't look for jobs quite the way they thought they were going to. So our worries about our turnover are not happening at the pace we thought. So the one thing, right, you heard me out there, I feel a little foolish, right, at this particular moment, but, you know, I was running around going, oh, my God, everybody's going to leave at the same time. Everybody's not leaving at the same time right now. But they still will, because you know what? We're still all getting older. I got my Social Security thing and my AARP card. You know, it's still happening. People still will go. They're not going to go at the same pace they thought they were going to go. So we're slower than we thought we were going to, but the things are still going to happen. And we'll still continue to talk about succession planning and leadership development. I think that we will also weave in opportunities for different kinds of career growth and opportunities for staff and faculty to help us think about doing things smarter and more efficiently and ending stupid things that we don't need to be doing. You know, if we were to not refill positions, then we have to be sustainable with the people that we have left. We cannot have them doing things that are dumb. They need to be focusing their energies on things that we need to get done. So inefficiencies is a great time to start, you know, here's a thought, listening to people about dumb, you know, ending dumb work and, you know, being more efficient about what we get done. So I want to start to get some employee involvement committees going about, you know, work efficiencies and practices. So that's a little bit of a new thing that we talked about a while back and then we kind of stopped talking about that I sort of want to talk about again.
Lots of ways to save money.
Well, it's saving time, you know, too. Because if we do, and I'm not saying that we are, because I'm not sure that we will, but if we don't fill jobs for a little while, we can't have people wasting time on things that don't need to get done. And so sometimes you just keep doing it because you have the people to do it. But even if it's just for a little while, you don't have that person, you just... That's a good time to go, like, if we stopped doing that, would anybody notice?
Yeah. One more question. Staff. They can go take supervisor training, new supervisor, get certifications. There's a whole development process for staff. On the other hand, with faculty, they sometimes, often, are our managers, but without any training, or they don't have BDAs or their MBAs, but they are in roles where they manage staff. And is there anything, any talks about, this is coming from reports of abuse and those types of things, but they're put in roles where they're in charge of people.
Right. Well, we actually do have faculty development programs that are, we have a faculty leadership program that's being done all through Cal. And something called EIO, Effective Interaction in Organization, that is being offered in several colleges now. So we are getting at that program, that issue. You might want to consider having Pam Strouser come and talk to you about the programs that we're offering in that area. They're very, very well received. I think you'll be very favorably impressed with the work that she's doing. And John Siltano runs a regular program for chair training and chair development. There's actually a lot going on in this area.
Very nice.
Doesn't mean that you can make, you know,
But if it's there.
We're trying.
Right.
And the thing that, you know, that. I would say something about a lipstick and a pig, but I'm not. The last time that was done, that just created all sorts of mess.
Thank you very much. We'll continue to keep you updated about the energy fair and the address.
Okay. I'll do my homework.
All right. What do you think that went out? Well, the commission. Okay, we're going to move quick. Report from the chair. The provost search committee is, I am the representative, if you didn't know that, the staff representative on this committee. It is going well. We are narrowing down potential candidates. There's a lot of input. It's a challenging assignment. I'm learning a lot. We're getting there.
How many are narrowed it down to?
There's not a short list yet. Mm-hmm. There's still it's rather big, but we're going through it. And what we will do, I don't quite have a time frame, but we will be having some kind of list that we pass on to President Scorton. And President Scorton will then take that list and go through. He has the final say, so he'll have his own interviews and do his own exploring. But it's going well, and staff, we do have a voice on this committee, and I have done my best to get questions for the candidates regarding staff and our way of life and our how we're affected by working here, part of the interview questions for the next program.
Where are you getting your questions from, Brian?
The committee is making them up. Actually, they're pretty much already set. We're going to be fine-tuning them in our evening meeting today. But yeah, we do have some staff concerning the voice.
How many staff are on the committee?
Myself.
Oh. You represent all staff and everybody else is faculty representing?
There's the students. There's two students, the GPSA and an undergrad. The student presidents of those groups are on it. And notably, the alumni is public. The alumni affairs director, service director, so there's another.
So, not to push this
sure.
over, if you're the only staff member, would it not be beneficial to seek out staff questions or maybe from us even before you represent us or the rest of the staff?
I think it's kind of official. It's already passed that already. It's just a list of questions that each person gets to ask. Let's say for an example, I get to ask the question. So, and everybody gets to ask the question. So we're defining questions that we might be able to ask, but then there's going to be other questions.
Mm-hmm. Pat, what I've seen when they elect a dean, the committee works on it, and then once the committee gets things narrowed down, then they ask their whole forum that everybody can attend and get their input and start the questions that the initial committee was to get all that ground laid before they start going.
Will that be the case?
We don't plan on holding the forum. So I guess I could ask you, but you have to do it quick. If you want to email me what your thoughts are, go ahead and I'll do my best.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little disappointed that we haven't had this opportunity until now to do that, to give you those suggestions or our comments or our questions before you got on this.
Well, I think being on the AA for over a year and being a staff myself, I think I know. That it doesn't have to be, it could be a personal question for me to this. I'm just saying I've done my best to try to make it a staff question, not a question about succession planning for the whole entire university. That would be a personal interest to me. So I'm just relaying that out. But yeah, you're more than welcome to let me know.
Good chances are there's only one question.
Possibly, right. And Pat, the committee members have been public since it was announced. And people have come to me and emailed me, called me, stopped me in the hallway, and voiced their concerns, and I've taken all that into account. Mm-hmm. So just I haven't used the employee assembly as a group. Because our last meeting was the first time we got asked about questions. Now my next meeting is tonight, first meeting in between.
So we didn't know that you're on the committee, so it's not like you're just all of a sudden found that you're on the
right.
First committee. So we didn't know about we had a chance to come up to you if we wanted to.
You could have, right. And now since we're in the questions part, I'm bringing it up to you now, so we do have the opportunity. Let's see. Committee staffing, the process is working well. We have some committee announcements, some appointments. Pat,
you,
is chair of the EGS. Is that correct, or is it Hazel? Is
Hazel
chair.
Or co-chair? Oh, one Hazel be chair.
Hazel is chair, Hazel. And Pat is co-chair. Our charter didn't give room, or was it the other way around?
Pat is chair, and Hazel is
co-chair. That's what I thought.
Vice
yeah.
chair. Yesterday. Check your mailbox.
Yeah, the charter didn't allow for two chairs, so we made one chair and one co-chair. That's official.
You can just be very collaborative
with him. Okay. Thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Bill Linick is our climate survey representative.
Correct.
Jason Seymour has been appointed chair of the education committee. Gary Stewart has been appointed on the communications committee. Do you have the rest of them, or do you remember any of them?
They're listed on the website, and there are letters going out to all the appointees and the committee chairs.
Okay, I didn't bring it today.
So it should be in your campus mailbox.
And again, the process is EA member can email me. And then I can just forward that on to the Office of Assembly with a yes, appoint this person. Others have to go to the website to fill out an online application, and then it comes to the exec committee and myself for appointment. So if you're asked.
There was one issue you were going to bring up with the, it looks like the Emergency Grant Fund Committee Charter only allows for two EA members.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing keeping from inviting other EA members to attend, but that's why I believe Bill and Leon were both interested in helping, and you can help, but just we can't staff you as members. That's not what's in the charter right now.
I can't have credit on that, Bill. That's perfectly fine.
So we'll work that out a little more. What else do I have for everybody? The Faculty Senate has approached the Employee Assembly asking for a representative one from the Employee Assembly. And the reasons are obvious, just to keep communications between the Faculty Senate and the Employee Assembly. They meet, twice or once a month? Anybody remember? It's 4:30. It's in the evening.
I believe it's generally once a month with a follow-up meeting date if needed.
Okay. And so if anybody is interested, they want that rather soon. So if anybody is interested in that, Alan has expressed interest, go ahead and email me or call me or stop me after the meeting and let me know that you're interested in that. Peter, did you want to talk about Daly Hall or purchase?
No.
Okay. So we're going to scratch that off the agenda. I want to let you know that Hazel has unfortunately
throws your name out there like that.
Has unfortunately, that's how I do my notes though. I mean,
oh, okay.
Has unfortunately resigned from the position of parliamentarian. It's completely understandable. It's unfortunate, and we will be getting back with everybody. We're going to, later date, we're going to talk about what we're going to do to hold another election to fill that slot, I guess. at the EA number that we'll be looking for.
So I just wanted to announce that. And I'm going to pass on to Beth, for your elected trustee. She's been waiting patiently for a report, right?
I don't have a report. I'm gonna pass. I called in one committee meeting for this round of board of trustee meetings, and October will be my very big initiation into every committee that I'm on.
Great. Good luck.
So I'll vote a much better report then. So I'll pass.
Outstanding. Okay. Report from our university assembly rep.
I do.
Okay.
We had our first meeting last week.
The third.
And some hot topics that were brought up were people pop.
Yes.
Schedulizer.
Yes.
And I think that topped the meeting. So we're working with the administration to get some ideas where we're at on those and how, if they're being resolved or if they've been resolved. And that's about it. And I'm also the chair of UA too.
Very nice. Congratulations. Any questions?
Can you elaborate on what those situations are? Or maybe they forget for us.
Please go on forever.
Yeah.
It's relating to the system and how it hasn't successfully handled AirDrop and pre-roll.
Okay.
Coming from a student perspective, but also from departments who deal with the academic departments who deal with that. Schedulizer is, from a student's perspective, why the university has sort of severed a relationship which was never defined. I do want to put something on your calendars, though. We are looking at, in the spring, to host a multi-assembly meeting for one of our meetings in the spring, where we would have the FA, GPFA, EA come to our meeting.
We'd love to come.
Grand Royale.
Just get us details later, date and location and how many of all. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to the approval of the minutes. In front of us we have the meeting minutes for our September 3rd meeting. They were sent out an email. We've also had them at the table here for a while. Has anybody noticed anything they'd like amended or changed? And what I'll
have. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
I have a motion to accept.
Okay.
I have a second. All in favor of accepting the meeting minutes for September 3rd meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? Any opposed? Abstained? Okay, we'll pass the meeting minutes for September 3rd. We'll move on to the Executive Committee. We met. The meeting was dedicated to the Energy Fair President's address, and we worked things out that we've reported, just updates on where we are and what else still has to happen. We talked about committee staffing, which we are doing very, very good on. Anything else I'm missing from that?
I think I've already brought up there.
Okay. Any questions? Staff Award Recognition Committee. Dennis is the interim chair. We're meeting tomorrow afternoon over in Sibley Hall. We're going to review nominations for the George Peter Award. And you heard me mention it to Mary about we would like to raise. It's going to be special. This first one has to be. And so we're going to get those applications and go through tomorrow. So they are meeting. Communications Committee.
We haven't met, but Steve, who is a member of the committee, is working on getting a draft of our poster for the Energy Fair President's Address and is talking to their supervisor about design and production costs. And so when that comes in, I'll let you guys know.
Okay. And Alan's going to let us know about the cell phone for soldiers because we might want to throw that out there.
Right. I made a note here to email Steve about with tentative plans to include it with a go-ahead when approved.
Okay. And the Cornell Dining, I'll meet with them tomorrow, find out if they're definitely on. I think they are, and we'll throw that to
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Jason, the last couple of 3 years, we've done the program in Geneva for the President's Address.
Okay.
And I understand there might be some changes in that this year. Do you have some sort of a template, or do we have another?
Not place? Yet, but I can talk to you.
Okay,
after the meeting.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Alan, anything from finance?
Just to follow up, as the minutes reflect, I inquired further about our budget for the Energy Fair and President's Address, and it was stated to be in the range of $7,000 to $8,000. Available. And if more was needed, although that seemed to be a healthy amount, make that known. But, so that's what we're going to be working within for this event.
Okay. And for what I know, we'll know more very soon. It's going to be about $1,000 for the Barn Hall staff to be there. They have to be there. And it's going to be probably up to $500. These are very just a rough estimate to provide food for our vendors.
Which type of food for vendors? 500?
Up to 500,
okay.
And depending on the cost of and how many vendors we have, it's just a kind of rough guesstimate.
Okay.
Whether we go with a curtain or not. So we're getting very close on getting some more defined costs. And we'll keep everyone updated every meeting.
Brian, where's the money coming from for that budget?
It normally was in the employee assembly's budget. It was always around $5,000. Office of Assembly just pulled it out. Say, why make us ask for it if it's a continual annual goal and it's in the Office of Assembly's budget and it's at $7,000.
Okay.
So we're always going to have that. If we don't submit our budget request, we're still going to have President's Address, pretty much. Okay, Emergency Grant Fund. Congratulations to both Pat and Hazel.
Yeah.
How's it going, girl?
A little crazy. Trying to find room location, I think, is the hardest.
Yeah.
Does they get back in touch with you about the weight machine?
No, but she thinks it's
okay. Okay. So we're rolling along. We're rolling.
We need 100% confirmation, but.
Great. Well, if you need extra hands, I mean, I know everybody is strapped, but you can just ask for volunteers. Are you looking for anyone to help?
I have a bunch of students that have volunteered to sit down and start typing out the letters.
Oh, outstanding. Okay.
So I have a few students that really like to get involved with stuff like this. So I reached out to them, and they're going to give us what they can. So.
Very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Can I get a motion to extend the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. It shouldn't take us much longer. Personnel policy?
I have not received any final confirmation.
But it is you.
Is it an email or mail?
Mail.
Okay, because see, Geneva takes 2 or 3 days to get mail. That's why I haven't probably gotten
it. Well, you just finalized them, but if you look online on the committee website, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
So that list is correct now.
Okay,
and Pat, unfortunately, I didn't bring my list with me, so I didn't. Pat has been appointed to chair the personnel policy committee.
And did you get a notice about there's an email list too?
No.
Okay, I'll double check. But there's an email list which has all the right people on it as well.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to make one point about the personnel policy. I did contact Lauren Jacoby, who is in staff and legal relations, and she's very anxious.
to get moving on some meetings with this committee. So
okay.
There's a couple of really important policies that are either in process or just come out. So I'll be reporting more on that.
Great. I'll see Peter.
I don't have anything, but I see a parent-sized item here. I'm not sure. I think that's what you mentioned.
Was that handbook feedback?
Yeah, it was the...
If you've received any, if you haven't, then...
Oh, I haven't, no.
Okay.
But I guess it's on there, so if you guys want to email me about it, I can pass it on to whoever can affect change. So, I mean, you guys know how to reach me. I'm always good about getting and replying to emails, so if you guys have questions that pertain to that sort of stuff, go ahead and ask me.
Okay. And university benefits. We're going to move on to employee education. Jason is the new chair of this committee.
So we haven't met, but I've got two strong new potential members. I talked to one of them on the phone, and in recognition of that, I'll probably have a meeting at their location.
Where is that?
Don't know yet, but... It's Tina Henry,
yep.
Who emailed us to start the process rolling, and she said someone near her is interested as well. And then I said, great, we'll have a meeting somewhere over in your neck of the campus.
Okay. We did, and I did ask Jason, Tina Henry contacted me with interest in this committee. I did email Jason once he was appointed to contact Tina to give her instructions on how to officially fill out. So she hasn't been given a yes or no. Until she fills out the online application, she's not appointed. So, but Jason got the ball moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. And ad hoc charter review committee.
We have a meeting coming up next week.
Okay. Great. You got some new tasks to do as you took on the Article 3. Paul Frank. Just for Dennis, because Dennis cannot make it.
Yeah, it's a new agenda item that I'm adding to every agenda, so it's a place for Dennis to mention anything about Paul Print updates or things that he needs for that. So, but since he didn't make it, so.
Yeah, he contacted me as well as Gary and Leon that they cannot make today's meeting. Okay, old business, employee assembly vacancies.
I guess this is going to stay on there until we've got some...
The deadline's over, and then we'll look at what we get. President's address, energy fair tasks.
I don't think we have to review anything right now, but...
Jason and I did attend the EMPT.
So there were a few questions that came out of there, mostly about our off-campus entities that arrive may have to have proof of insurance liability. I'm still waiting on an answer to that.
Okay. And move to open forum. And I just want to, again, just so nobody got the wrong idea, my role on the provost search committee, that I just don't hope that you don't feel that I didn't want input from staff. It's just we're in between meetings where we just got asked about questions. And I thought to have a question, but now I can, take input and I have a meeting with that person. I just want to let you know that I am definitely advocating for staff rights, because there's about 4,000 staff, give or take, that is underneath the provost position in one way or another. But I think it's great that President Gordon did get a point of staff member on this committee, so it's definitely a plus. Yes, Hazel.
Just a note, for our next EA meeting, I'd like to have after the agenda a wrap-up of Chill Chat.
Okay.
It seems like we spent an awful lot of money a couple years ago for this to occur, and we had it with employees, we had it with management, and there was no actual final closure. I mean, we have the drafts, the numbers, but what was the end result? Sure. Was it ever presented to Mary? Did Mary make any suggestions?
Yeah, there's a basic background. I don't know if it's online or not, but I guess I can email you about putting it online.
When was the final document presented?
I remember seeing it at one meeting.
Yeah, well, last year I sent a document, and I got back a couple of edits about missing names and stuff, but there wasn't any content edits.
Is that Mary's follow-up?
She sent a huge follow-up. I showed, I brought you guys in her ink marked up paper, and I applied all of her edits tonight to show that back to the VA. But I'll bring it all back, and we can go through it together as well.
Sure.
When you start on the agenda, Peter can bring what he has. Yeah, I remember seeing something, but... anything else?
Motion to adjourn?
Got it.
Second.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.